Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about Tesla having done some factory tours with analysts at Giga Berlin. We're getting some early feedback from those tours, so we'll talk about that. Also got a couple of rumors on Giga Berlin's production rate, news on FSD beta, an update from Ron Barron on his Tesla investment, and a few other items as well. All right, so the Tesla stock split now in effect, Tesla closing down about a third of a percent today to $296.07. It'll take a little bit of time to get adjusted to those new prices, but back in a very familiar trading range for Tesla historically. The Nasdaq today was up 1 2/3%, so definitely an underperformance for Tesla on the day today. Hopefully we'll remember this next time we have a bunch of investor questions on when the next stock split is going to be. Moving into the news, I want to start off with a couple of updates from Giga Berlin. It sounds like this week Tesla has been giving tours to analysts of the factory. So we're starting to see some recaps come out from those tours. First of which here seems to be from UBS. They've released a note today on their experience, and they had quite a few interesting points to note. They start off the note with a headline that reads, "Gigacasting is the key innovation, ramp up obviously progressing well." They describe that by saying, quote, "We were the first broker to get a Giga Berlin tour together with key clients. We saw a very busy factory floor, obviously making good progress towards the 5,000 car per week target run rate by year end. Parts of the plant are even ready for 10,000 vehicles per week. With a sequence time of 45 seconds by car and 10 hours from the body shop to final assembly, Tesla believes it is more than twice as fast as Volkswagen's MEB plant. The key process innovation is gigacasting, which replaces an army of welding robots for a single rear end underbody part. By year end, Tesla plans to do the front end underbody, also as a single die cast piece, with a total of 8 gigapresses, enabling the use of a 4680 structural battery. Tesla expects to have in-house 4680 cell supply up and running by then next door." End quote. Right, so a number of interesting comments in there, even aside from their headline about gigacasting, which we're obviously very familiar with, though they do mention 8 gigapresses by the end of the year. It sounds like their interpretation is also that 4680 cell supply would be up by the end of the year at Giga Berlin as well. I would imagine at this point that would be ahead of what most people are expecting. Of course, they'll still have to ramp it up and it'll take time to do that, but Tesla by that point in time should have plenty of lessons learned from ramping up at Giga Texas. Many might find that comment about Volkswagen and Tesla's production rate being twice as fast, maybe more than twice as fast as Volkswagen's, might be surprising to some, but we have heard even Herbert Diess talk about that, with Volkswagen hoping to maybe get to that 10-hour mark in, I believe they said 2025 or 2026 with their next-gen platform. That's where Tesla is at today, maybe not in Berlin quite yet, but certainly in Giga Shanghai. This UBS note should raise some awareness of that. And then just good to hear their comments on the ramp in general, though it's really tough to gauge how accurate they could be with comments like that, which seem to be pretty vague and not necessarily data-driven. The next point here was pretty interesting. They talk about how Giga Berlin could possibly be Tesla's most profitable gigafactory. In fact, they say Tesla highlighted this point themselves due to the cost of goods sold at Giga Berlin getting close to Shanghai levels, while the European product mix will be the highest in the world, much higher than China. UBS says that they agree with that, and that's why they expect auto gross margins to exceed 30% from the second half of 2022 and onwards. So it's a very interesting point, especially given the tremendous scale that Giga Shanghai is now achieving. We believe that run rate's probably over 1 million vehicles per year already at this point. And the terminal volume of Giga Berlin has been kind of a question mark due to some of the delays that it has experienced so far. We know it's going to be at least 500,000, but some people thinking it'll stop there. I think this comment suggests probably otherwise, if they're planning to get to close to cost parity with Giga Shanghai. It's also supported by Elon's comments at the shareholder meeting that most gigafactories would be between 1.5 to 2 million vehicles per year. Anyway, if Berlin can get close to Shanghai costs, then it would seem likely that profitability would be significantly higher. In terms of highest, I don't know, it seems like Giga Texas would be competing with that, but that would really hinge on Cybertruck profitability, which I do think can be quite high, but we'll have to wait and see on that. UBS wraps it up by reiterating their buy rating and their $1,100 price target. That would now be $367 post-split. And they say that the Berlin tour increased their confidence in Tesla's volume curve and gross margin expansion. Tesla remains their top industry pick. So we'll keep an eye out. I would be surprised if we don't hear from some other analysts following what sounds like a sequence of tours here from Tesla. And then also on Giga Berlin, we do have a couple of rumors about Tesla's current production rate. TeslaMag.de earlier today reported that they have been told by sources that Model Y production at Giga Berlin has reached 1,800 to 1,900 per week and would expand to at least 2,000 Model Ys per week starting from September, so next week. However, it does appear that this report may not be accurate. Drive Tesla Canada, who generally seems to have pretty good information, said today on Twitter that they have confirmed that this is not accurate and current rates are still around 1,300 vehicles per week. Since then, it looks like TeslaMag.de has updated their article, and they say that another source informed on Thursday said that production was last at 1,300 to a maximum of 1,500 Model Y per week. So some confusing and conflicting information here. To me, it seems like the 1300 number is more likely to be correct, which would also unfortunately mean that I think we have to take that 2000 per week for September with a very big grain of salt, probably something that we can't really consider as accurate until we get, or unless we get, further information on that. All right, moving on from Giga Berlin, we've got an update from Elon on the timeline for expansion of FSD Beta 10.69. He's saying, quote, 10.69.1 releases Monday night, 10.69.2 about a week or so later. This will be the wide beta version, end quote. So that'll be August 29th for 10.69.1, and then sometime around September 5th for 10.69.2, which was the date Elon had previously mentioned for increasing the price on FSD to $15,000. As for what vehicles this is actually going to end up being pushed to, talking about 10.69.2 here, again, I remain confused. Elon keeps using different terminology here, so wide beta version, does that mean wide release to all FSD customers? I still maintain the point of view that Elon here is talking about customers that already have beta access, but it's certainly not the most clear terminology, so I could be wrong on that. All right, next up, we hear from Ron Baron again talking about Tesla and SpaceX. CNBC this morning had him on, as they do from time to time, and he usually makes sure to get a few good words in on both Tesla and SpaceX. On this occasion, he said that he expects Tesla will become the largest company in the world in the next 10 years. In the interview, he ballparked their expectations for somewhere between a 3x to a 5x increase in value. I know a lot of listeners may say that's a low ball, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that is their bull case for Tesla, just their expectation. And then Baron also mentioned that they have recently added another $100 million to their investment in SpaceX. So in terms of cost in, they're at about $400 million on that. Their valuation is about $1.2 billion in total. So almost a 10% increase in their investment in SpaceX. He says he sees SpaceX 8xing to 10xing in 10 years, and then in the following decade, competing with Tesla to be the largest company in the world. So fun to hear that about SpaceX from an investor that probably has more information than most do on the company. And hopefully we'll get a little bit more information on that trajectory when we hear from SpaceX and T-Mobile shortly after this episode comes out. All right, next up, we've got just a brief mention of Tesla during NVIDIA's earnings call, thanks to a listener for passing this along. They said on the earnings call that, quote, Tesla recently upgraded its supercomputer to use over 7,000 A100 GPUs for autopilot training, end quote. So kind of interesting here. We don't know necessarily what NVIDIA means when they say recently, but I guess I would have to assume that that would have been sometime this year. So even though Tesla is working on Dojo, sounds like they are also upgrading their GPU stack at the same time, which I think is fine. You know, however Tesla can get what they need to get done right now. Dojo is very clearly a very long-term investment from Tesla, whereas 7,000 GPUs, while it is expensive, probably somewhere on the order of $100 million, kind of hard to find pricing on that, plus bulk purchase rates, etc. But it's not like this is billions and billions of dollars from Tesla for these GPUs. And time is so valuable here that even if Tesla ends up only using those for 6 months or a year or whatever, and then they somehow can't find any valuable use case for them in the future, that's still probably worthwhile. So I guess main takeaway for me there, even if this is a very recent upgrade from Tesla, I wouldn't view that at all as a red flag for Dojo or anything like that. All right, next up, we're just going to cover this briefly because I've already talked about how I think this is just getting too much attention in general. But we are back to the Dan O'Dowd story. Of course, Dan O'Dowd has made a number of different videos showing FSD beta in a very negative light, making a lot of accusations about its safety, running for office, seemingly for the only purpose of being able to put these ads on TV, and then also denying any conflict of interest, even though he runs a software company that provides software in the automotive industry. Definitely no conflict of interest there. Anyway, a couple weeks back, after O'Dowd had posted his child mannequin videos, Tesla has sent him a cease and desist letter. Holmar shared that on Twitter today. Tesla writes, quote, it has come to our attention that you personally and the Dawn Project have been disparaging Tesla's commercial interests and disseminating defamatory information to the public regarding the capabilities of Tesla's full self-driving beta technology. We demand that you immediately cease and desist further dissemination of all defamatory information, issue a formal public retraction within 24 hours, and provide Tesla with the below demanded documentation, end quote. So of course, by now it's been more than 24 hours. O'Dowd on August 12th did tweet something that was an apology, but it seemed very sarcastic, and he never really clarified what he meant with some of the things he said. It was like half sarcastic, half actual apology. Very confusing. But at any rate, O'Dowd clearly not backing down. So looks like Tesla may escalate this. In the letter, they close it by saying, furthermore, you and the Dawn Project, including any and all employees, officers, directors, and agents, are hereby placed on notice that Tesla demands that you preserve all documents, including communications, videos, and data related to your purported tests and advertisements, including print and video, along with any and all communications surrounding the same. Tesla will exercise all legal remedies available to it in the event of your non-compliance. So we'll see if Tesla does go forward with a lawsuit or anything like that, but at this point, with the cease and desist letter, it definitely seemed to have a pretty strong Streisand effect today. It's one of the top posts on Reddit in the news subreddit. And of course, most of this coverage is not going to point out all the context that we have shared. It's going to be spun as, you know, Tesla demanding somebody remove this video that makes FSD beta look bad. That's not the point. I've had videos that make FSD beta not look great either, and Dan O'Dowd even used a clip from my videos in his videos. I haven't gotten a cease and desist letter from Tesla. It's not about that. Just very clearly a misrepresentation from someone that has an agenda and is clearly a competitor. But hey, why sacrifice clicks for context? Not in today's era. So all around, I think just a pretty annoying story, though. I did have to kind of chuckle at O'Dowd's response. Apparently he spoke to the Washington Post, and he said, quote, "This letter is so pathetic in terms of whining, Mr. Free Speech Absolutist, just a crybaby, hiding behind his lawyers," end quote. Yeah, Tesla is definitely the whiny one here. Spot on. Washington Post also reports that O'Dowd said he did not intend to take down the video commercial, and instead pledged more money into the effort. Alright, last item for today. Remember yesterday how we talked about Toyota issuing a statement of support for California banning internal combustion engine vehicle sales by 2035? Well, we've got some comments here from the Executive Vice President of Sales in North America for Toyota that I think explains why I was skeptical of their support of that. In a conversation with the Automotive Press Association, Jack Hollis, who's the EVP, explained why, as Ford recaps it, that it's, quote, "unlikely mass adoption of battery electric vehicles will develop as fast as environmentalists, the U.S. government, and most of the U.S. auto industry seem to expect," end quote. Hollis seems to believe that there's just fundamentally not enough consumer demand, which I guess if you work for Toyota, explains why you would have that point of view. But Hollis believes that battery electric vehicles cost too much, the infrastructure isn't ready, so these electrification targets are unlikely to be met. He says that, quote, "the customer isn't demanding it at that level, the consumer is not screaming 30 or 40% by tomorrow. And when you start pushing consumers into things they are not ready for, some other consequences will occur," end quote. It would be nice if he would explain what those other consequences are, because it's pretty clear that we've got some other consequences happening right now with the current automotive industry in its current state. But hey, I guess let's ignore that for some vague other consequences from pushing consumers into something that they don't want a little bit too soon. Oh, and by the way, pay no attention to the fact that the Tesla Model Y and Tesla Model 3 recently passed Toyota's RAV4 and Camry as best-selling vehicles in California. That's not important. Even though they cost like twice as much more, we at Toyota just aren't seeing any signs that customers actually want these newfangled electric vehicles. If this were my company, this dude would be fired on the spot for saying such stupid things, but of course he will not be, because this is Toyota, and that is where we'll leave it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, August 26th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.